Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, beginning with the 14th verse. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. They're well-known words. It's a verse that many Christians might put in their top 10 favorite verses. Now we have a vinyl wall art decal hanging up on one of our walls in the parsonage. I'm sure many Christians have these verses somewhere in their house, whether it's on a plaque or an art decal or a picture frame of some sort. And for good reason. It's a nice thought. As for me and my house, us together as a family, we will serve the Lord. Nice thoughts, nice words. But how much nicer would it be if we actually followed those words? They're easier said than done. As the old saying goes, you can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? Can you walk the talk? Do you practice when you preach? Today, we'll take a look at walking the talk. That is only through Christ that we are able to serve the Lord. The Israelites spent years as slaves in Egypt. They cried out to God, and God heard them and remembered them, and God sent a man by the name of Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. God sent 10 plagues upon the land to convince Pharaoh to let his people leave. And when the Egyptians pursued, God caused the world's most powerful army to be drowned in the depths of the Red Sea. In the 40 years that followed, God was with his people. He provided for them water. Their clothes and shoes never got holes in them or wore out. And he gave to them manna, bread from heaven for them to eat. When enemies came out and attacked their nation, God led them in victory after victory. When those 40 years ended, the Israelites made it to the promised land of Canaan. And they passed through the Jordan River under a new leader named Joshua. The first thing they did was march around the city of Jericho. And when they had stopped and shouted and blew their trumpets, God caused the city walls to come crumbling down. And God gave them the victory. God would do that again and again. Through God, the Israelites defeated city after city. They overtook nation after nation and people after people. They subdued the whole land. And now it was time for Joshua to die. So he called together the Israelites one last time to give them one final sermon. The last part of which is our text for today. After reminding them of everything we just mentioned about God's grace and love and protection, Joshua told them, these believers, that they had a choice. If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. If these believers decided to reject the one true God, they had some other options. The first was to go after the gods of their forefathers, the gods that Abraham's father Terah, worshipped. Or they can worship the false gods of the Amorites. It's really not much of a choice. Both are worthless. One was made by human hands out of inanimate objects such as gold or silver or wood. And the Israelites were living in the land of the Amorites. The Amorite gods could not help their people. They were figments of imagination. They didn't even exist. They were worthless to help anyone. So if they decided to reject God, those were some of the choices they could make. They could worship the one true, living, all-powerful God who had cared and protected them. Or they could serve worthless figurines and figments of the imagination. Pretty similar to the options we have today. We can serve God, or we can serve something else. We can serve the one true Lord, or we can serve the things of this world. It's one or the other. It can't be both. As Jesus says in Matthew 6, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can either serve the Lord and follow Him, or you can serve your sinful nature and go after the things of the world. It's one or the other. It cannot be both. You can't have your cake and eat it too. But it's what many people try to do, isn't it? Many people want to act like the world and act like Christians. Well, sure, at times we act like Christians. We belong to a congregation. We may worship from time to time, and we strive to obey His word. But other times, we follow after our sinful nature. We do what we want to do. We indulge in sinful passions and desires. We fall into sin. We act like Christians on Sunday mornings, and then the rest of the week, we act like the world. We obey God's word when we want to obey God's word. We follow His word when it's convenient for us. For the rest of the time, no one else can even tell that we are Christians. We try to serve two masters, Christ and the world, which cannot be done. Not possible. You either serve God or you serve yourself. Now let's make something clear. This is not an invitation for unbelievers to choose God. We were born as sinners, born as enemies of God who hated Him, wanted nothing to do with Him. His word was offensive to our ears, contrary to our reason. So if the choice to believe in God was up to us, we would never choose to serve Him. No, here Joshua addresses believers. The Bible makes it clear that we cannot choose ourselves. As Jesus said in John 15, you do not choose me, but I chose you. Or in John 6, no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. As believers, we can say no to God and yes to the world. But as unbelievers, we cannot say yes to God. This is a choice for believers to make. Joshua is addressing believers. The Holy Spirit has already brought you to faith. And now that you worship the one true God, you have a choice to reject the one true God or to serve something else. Now the people responded as believers respond. Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. We too will serve the Lord because He is our God. These people followed Joshua's example. They could have said, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Not a choice they made, but one worked in them through the Holy Spirit by means of the gospel. And the same stands for us. We follow Joshua's example and the Israelites' example. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Faith worked in us by the Holy Spirit. But why? Why should you serve the Lord? Why would you serve the Lord and forsake the things of the world? Why would you deny your simple nature? Why would you go against what feels good and right? in your heart. Well, the Israelites were motivated by God's grace. It was what God had done for them in the past and will promise to continue to do for them in the future. Because God had showed love to them, they wanted to show love to God by serving Him. Listen to what they said in verses 17 and 18. "We won't serve the Lord," they said, "because it is the Lord our God Himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land." Their motivation is the same as yours. You serve the Lord willingly because of what He has done and what He promises to do. He has sent His Son, Jesus, who gave up the glories and riches of heaven to come down on this earth, so that He could live a perfect life. And even though He was innocent, He willingly died on a cross. And on that cross, He took all your sins upon Himself and gave you His perfection and holiness. Then He rose from the dead and assures you that all believers will join Him in heaven forever, for they too will be raised from the dead. It is this love in His grace of watching over you and protecting you and giving the gift of salvation that leads you to cast aside the things of the world and serve the Lord. His gift of forgiveness of sins and eternal life leads you to say, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." That's easier said than done. You can say it all you want, but it's hard to walk the talk. Just think of all the times you have failed to serve the Lord in the past. You can say you're going to serve the Lord all you want, but often you do just the opposite. Many times you let the things of the world get in your way. You place things like your jobs or your hobbies or the activities your children are in or your family itself ahead of God. Things like money or fun or reputation become gods to ourselves because they at times become more important than our Lord. Many times we serve ourselves before we serve our Savior. You have failed to walk the talk in the past. And so it stands to reason that you will fail to do so and sin in the future. Joshua told his people the same thing. "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, He will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after He has been good to you." Our sins deserve God's wrath and punishment. God is a holy God who will not put up with sin. He is a jealous God who will punish us for each and every one of our sins. And so if the Israelites rebelled against Him as they had done in the past, they deserve His wrath and punishment. And we deserve the same thing. Joshua was telling the Israelites that they couldn't obey the Lord. They did it in the past and they won't in the future. They will rebel against Him and sin against Him. And yet, we can obey the Lord. Only through faith in Christ. Only through faith in Christ can we even begin to obey the Lord. For it is His gospel that empowers us to love Him. It is our love for Him that leads us to obey Him. And yet, of course, we know we still sin. But yet, God looks at us as obedient children. He looks at us and sees His Son. Where we didn't walk the talk, Jesus walked the talk. For over 30 years, He lived on this earth and always obeyed the Lord. He always served Him and followed His commands. Jesus walked the talk, and His obedience was given to us in our baptisms. For at our baptisms, our sinful nature is washed away, and we were clothed with the righteous robes of Christ. So when God looks at us, He declares us not guilty, because He sees us as He sees His obedient Son, Jesus Christ. So it is only through faith in Him that God looks at us as obedient children. This gift is given to us for free out of His grace. And remembering God's grace and love for us leads us to rededicate our lives again and again to God. That's what the Israelites did. When Joshua reminded them of their sins, they responded in verse 21, "No, we will serve the Lord." And then in verse 24, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey Him." That's three times in our text for today that the Israelites said that they were going to serve the Lord. And we do well to follow their example. When they rededicated their lives to God, Joshua then told them, "Then throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. Get rid of the foreign gods that are among you." By nature, we have a tendency to love things more than God. We place things as more important than God and making them gods in and of themselves. So daily, we examine our lives again and again and see where God lands in our lives. How high of a priority do we make our Savior? And we cast aside everything that hinders us in serving the Lord. And when we think of serving the Lord, we first of all think of worship. We make it a point to worship Him whenever we can. Nothing is more important in our lives than to give praise and thanks to our Savior. And we do this with our whole heart. We worship the Lord not because we have to, not because our spouse or our parents force us to, but because He is our Savior and we want nothing more than to sing the praises of the one who gave up His life for us. In verse 24, the people responded to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey Him." Obey Him. Believing is also obeying. Faith leads us to obedience. You believe what Christ has done for you, so now you want to obey Him to show your love and thanks to Him. You don't purposely go against His will, but you strive your best to obey Him and to honor His word. And when you fail, you know that you are forgiven through Christ. But the Hebrew for that line doesn't necessarily mean obey. No, the Hebrew really says, "We will serve the Lord our God and listen to His voice." Listen to His voice or listen to His word. That's part of walking the talk as Christians. Listening to the word of the Lord. Not just on Sundays, but every day. Reading His word at home. Studying His word at Bible class on Sunday mornings and during the week. That is part of walking the talk as a Christian. You love the Lord. You want to know more about the Lord, who He is, what He has done, and how you can live a life pleasing to Him. Studying His Word and reading His Word is part of serving the Lord. So we walk the talk and get into His Word. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Walk the talk. Practice what you preach. Put aside the things of the world and put Christ first in your lives. Obey Him, serve Him, and study His Word. And when you fail, and you will, again and again, when you fail, know that Christ did not fail. Christ always walked the talk. He is the one who makes you obedient in the eyes of the Lord. And through faith in Him, you will have a perfect life in heaven everlasting. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.